So our key verse today is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. I'll read that first, then I'll read the whole passage from verse 9 to 16. So verse 16, watch your life and your doctrine closely. So preserve them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. From verse 9. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of the people, and especially for those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given through prophecy when the body of elders laid hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Preserve them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. I'm going to pray for Jeff now. Dear Lord, I pray for Jeff as he preaches your word. May you speak through him and bless us all here, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you again. It's brilliant, isn't it, to come to worship. I hope you feel good now. We've done those songs. They're so powerful, aren't they, to sing them. They're real truths, aren't they, to stand on. You know, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Such a truth. Go on, carry on. Frame he washed it white as snow. Again, let's go again. Jesus paid it all. Oh, this is a truth I owe. Sin had cast a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Thank you, Shay, for choosing that one. But choosing all the songs this morning, I just get so uplifted when I'm singing, don't you? I just love it. I love to stand on these truths that I'm saying with my words as I'm singing. It's so good to be amongst fellow believers this morning. So good to be here. And it's a real privilege for me to share some thoughts on this subject that we've been carrying through so well this morning. Foundations of our faith. What we stand on that we believe as being true. We need it. We need to know that what we stand on is firm and secure. And we will not shift like sand, but will stand solid like rock. That's what I need, don't you? This life has a habit of turning us upside down from time to time if we're not careful. I took my car to the car wash. Doesn't happen very often. Very rarely does it happen. But I thought, wow, it's a lovely day. The sky was blue, the sun was hot. I thought, my car looks a disgrace, so I'm going to take it to the car wash. I'm going to give it a birthday. So off I went to the car wash. Wonderful. Came out, lovely, shiny and bright. And as I came out and parked, waiting to go onto the main road, a seagull. There he is. A seagull decided to use my car as target practice. Splat, splat, splat. One on the windscreen, two on the bonnet. Ruined. Ruined my day. And there he went. I watched him. I'm sure he'd done a high five to one of his mates. Yes, he did. I'm sure of that. Yay! He went. Got him. Life has a habit, doesn't it? Of turning us upside down every now and again. From time to time, anyway. Sometimes it's just those little annoying things, which are really annoying, aren't they? Really annoying. They're sometimes almost the last straw, aren't they? The little things that ruin your day. And then there's the big things, isn't there? The horrible things that turn you upside down, inside out, and ruin your life. Life has a habit of turning us upside down. We need to stand on firm foundations, secure in the knowledge that all is well in the end. We're okay. We're on the rock. In order to survive this life, we need to stand on firm ground. Quite obviously, if your house has dodgy foundations, you're going to have a dodgy house. You'll have cracks appearing in the walls. You'll have windows that won't open and doors that won't close. And in the end, your house, like the Jenga that Amanda shared, will fall. And it's the same for our faith. If your foundation is weak, then you'll be walking around with doors that won't open and windows that won't close, or vice versa, and you'll find you'll have cracks, if you like, coming up in the walls of your life and across the ceiling and into your mind, and in the end your house will fall with a mighty crash. Because you're standing on weak foundations. Can we show that picture now, Ben? Who would live in a house like this? Many do. Not quite like that as a house, as a picture, but as life. We're surrounded by so much stuff these days. We don't know what to believe half the time. We don't know where to go and what to do. Half the time we're bombarded by all untruths, different things that weaken our spirit and weaken our soul and destroy our lives. Who would live in a house like this? Well, many of us do. We believe all sorts of whims that come flooding in. All sorts of things that aren't right in our lives. If your faith is not grounded on solid ground, you'll walk around with windows that won't open and doors that won't close. And in the end, your house will fall. Next Sunday, as David mentioned, we're going to start this series on the Apostles' Creed, written around the year 280 AD, something like that. It's not a term that's actually in the Bible, but it's of the Bible. It's the foundations of it are set within Scripture. All that Scripture has to share with us is there in the Apostles' Creed. It was important. It's useful for us to know what it is that we firmly believe in and that we stand on. It's a summary, if you like, of Christian faith. Abiding principles. That if we stand on those things that we're going to be looking at from next week on for a few weeks, if we stand on that, if we build our lives upon those things, all will be well. It will keep us safe. So in the passage that we had read to us, 1 Timothy 4, 6 right down to 16, just going to flip over a few verses, but then I want to hone in on verse 16. We find here Paul instructing the next generation, which is something we're doing here in this church, which I'm very proud of. I love this church and the way it encourages younger people to take leadership roles. It's brilliant, David. It's just what we need. If we're not encouraging the next generation, we're lost. We're lost. It's wonderful. Here we find Paul instructing that next generation. His name is Timothy. He's a really good friend, but he's the apprentice to Paul. Paul's the old man now, and Timothy's the young man coming in, and been on his sort of Paul's missionary journeys with him. Became a Christian, we believe, about the age of 15. Comes from a very Christian background. His mother, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois, were both Christians, brought him up in the faith. It was a wonderful thing. I sometimes wish, although my family were wonderful, I just wish I had the grounding going right back then. You know, when I was a kid, I'd have been saved a lot of heartache as a young man growing up. I didn't become a Christian until I was 30 years old. Oh, how wonderful it is to see these young people in our church, full of the Lord, wanting to serve him and finding their life enhanced by him. So he's the young apprentice to Paul. He's a Christian boy, and about the age of 30, around AD 64, he is running the biggest church in the world at that time. It's called the Church at Ephesus. Wow. But he's young, and Paul sees the need to still direct him and help him. Well, we all need that, don't we, in life? We all need that direction. Timothy was having to deal with many of the perplexities and problems that go with serving as a senior pastor in a major church. I thought about you, David, and about you, Tim, and all the other leadership team of our church. And I know only too well, as a minister myself, retired now, the pressures that can be on you, trying to please everybody, trying to be what you need to be and speaking in the way that you need to be, having the right sort of direction. It's a very hard thing to do. Paul is saying to Timothy, make sure that the people under your care have a strong foundation on which to stand, on which to build their faith. Make sure that they know what it is that they believe. Do you know what it is that you believe? Well, you will do after the next course that we're doing. Know that what we believe is true. Make sure they know what it is that they believe in and why it matters. It matters because these things have consequences. Building your house on a rock has consequences, good ones. Building it on sand does not have very good consequences. It comes with consequences, the decisions we make and the things we stand on. In verse 6, point out these things to the people, he says. Point out these things. If you point these things out to the brothers and the sisters, you will be a good minister to Christ Jesus. Timothy was learning all the time. Verse 7, have nothing to do with. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Superstitions. Weak foundations. Have nothing to do with it. And verse 11, he says, command and teach these things. I found that word quite powerful. Command and teach these things. Be firm in this. Insist. Making notes, David, please. It's hard, though, sometimes, isn't it? We don't always want to be told. Certainly not in a commanding way. But here we find Paul telling Timothy, command it. You must do this. You must learn this. We do need leadership that gives us strong guidance. And verse 15, be diligent in this. Be diligent. That's a great word, isn't it? Be diligent. Unremitting. Keep on and on. And your faith will grow. And then verse 16, which I want to hone in on this morning. Watch your life and doctrine closely. And persevere in them. Because if you do, you will save yourself and your hearers. Watch your life and your doctrine. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Closely. Just watch them closely. Paul's instruction, take heed of yourself, Timothy. Take heed of yourself. You're important. You matter. Look after yourself. Let God's word affect your life. And put your faith into action. Be a good example, Timothy. Watch yourself. Make sure you're okay as the leader of the church. Make sure you're setting a good example. Make sure you are okay with what you believe, your firm foundations that you stand on, Timothy. Jesus gave one of the greatest sermons ever. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And if we look at that passage in chapter 7 of Matthew's Gospel, it gives us firm foundations for our life, strong, strong foundations that we can stand on. For there are consequences. And at the end of that sermon, which goes from chapter 5 in Matthew right through to chapter 7, if we look at that and we see the end of that, he gives that parable that Amanda spoke about, doesn't he? Therefore, everyone who hears these words, that's the words he's been saying from chapter 5 right through to the end of chapter 7. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man built his house upon a rock. The rain came and streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house. It did not fall. Now, we're not going to sing that song. No, don't worry. We're going to get you to sing it because it had its foundations on a rock. Such a simple parable of real life, really. But everyone who hears these words and does not put them into practice, anyone who has heard the Sermon on the Mount but does nothing about it, doesn't actually put any of that into action, is like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, sinking sand. The rain came down and the streams came up and the winds blew and beat against the house. And it fell with a mighty crash. It has consequences. Standing on the firm foundations of Christ and Jesus and God has consequences. Build your life on the words of Scripture, on the promises of God. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. So often we sometimes feel that maybe God hasn't got the best for us because things go wrong. Life turns us upside down. But the firm foundation we can stand on is the promises we find in Scripture. I know the plans. Not to harm you. Not to destroy you. But to prosper you. And to give you life. I come that they might have life. In all its fullness, in the full power of the Holy Spirit, I come that you might know me as a power in your life. And remember, I am with you, even unto the ends of the age. These are promises of God in Scripture. We can stand on them. There's thousands and thousands of them in our Scriptures. The promises of God. Believe in its testimony, this Bible. Believe in its teaching. Believe in its power. This book has been more fought over. I've said it before and I'll say it again. It's been so much fought over, this Bible. Tested, criticized, chastised, challenged. And still, God in Christ walks powerfully across its pages. This book, the Bible, is a firm foundation for our lives. We stand on these words, we will not fall. We will have a strong foundation. And I wanted to say this. Love is all it is. Love. Love God. Love God. Love God. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love each other as he has loved us. You know, whatever else the church is, it has to be a place of love. Whatever else. When all doctrine has been debated, when all traditions have been lived out, when all hymns have been sung and all liturgies have been said, all you need is love. Love is all there is. It's a firm foundation. Love wins in the end. His love for us and our love for him. At the end of the day, if you don't have love, we don't have anything. We could have the greatest church in the world. We could have the best youth group, the best band, best facilities, but if we have no love, we have nothing. This does not mean that we have to be perfect in everything. We have Christ who saves us in our imperfect state. You'd have to be pretty dumb to think that I've got it all wrapped up. Far from it. David 2, Tim 2, Leadership 2. We're sinners saved by grace. There's a firm foundation for you. I thank him every day. In Philippians chapter 2, thought I'd just show you this. God working in us. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill God's good purposes. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Secondly, persevere. Life is a marathon. See what I did there? Life is a marathon. I've got two members of our family running in the marathon today. I just hope they persevere. Hope they keep going. They tell me that it's the hardest mile is the last mile home. Just keep going. Keep going. You'll be all right. It's a frequently used word in Paul's letters. Perseverance. Keep going. Keep fighting. Keep pushing. No matter how strong our faith is, how bright our light might be, there are times in each of our lives when understanding and knowing gives way to not understanding and not knowing. Sometimes I don't know. Sometimes I wonder when things go wrong, when things come against me, we stumble. We fall in the darkness of our circumstances or the darkness of someone else's circumstances, maybe a good friend or a neighbor. We stumble and we fall. But we don't give up. We keep going as Christians. We keep going. Persevere in these things, says Paul to Timothy. Persevere. Don't give up. Push in. If you're going through a bad time, let me encourage you. Let me try to encourage you. Just push into God. Keep pushing. Keep pushing. Never give up. For we stand on a firm foundation that said God is with us. Although sometimes it doesn't seem like that. I know. Believing in God and in his Son Jesus, standing on those doctrines of truth, will sustain us. 1 Corinthians 4 says, Chapter 8, chapter 4, verse. Already you have all that you want. Already you have become rich. I'll let you read that. I can't quite see it from here. 1 Corinthians 4:8. We sometimes get pushed down, but we always give up. Get up. We always keep going. Push into God. Don't give up. Even in the darkness of the night, when there is no light, love holds us to Him and Him to us. In Hebrews, let's try this one, 12, verse 1. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race before us. Persevere. Never give up. And thirdly, and finally, because if you do, you will save yourself and your hearers. Consequences, again. If you do, you'll save yourself and your hearers. An assurance of salvation for both Timothy and his hearers. And Paul is not saying that Timothy needs saving. Timothy is already saved. I think back in chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, we find them right at the beginning. Let me turn it up. I could better read it from here. To Timothy, my true son in the faith. 1 Timothy 1, 2, verse 2. To Timothy, my true son in the faith. Timothy's already saved. So what is this about? Why does teaching the right things and being the right type of person, does that save us? No, Christ saves us. Christ saves us. Well, none of us are perfect. Paul is not saying that Timothy will become saved by teaching such truths. Timothy is already saved. It's more that he continues to be saved, if you like. It's called sanctification. We grow in grace as the years go on. We keep going. We keep standing on those truths. We're saved. We're saved by grace. But Christ does, because of that, does require us to show that we're saved. We're saved to serve. We're saved to show that we're saved. So it's not just about being saved. It's sanctification as the years go on, growing in that grace, working out our salvation. I had a friend came to me the other day and said, "My life's a mess. I don't think I'm saved." I said, "Did you give your life to Christ?" He said, "Yes, you know I did. You know I did back then, but my life's not right. I'm not good. I'm not good." I said, "Please. Please. It's such a firm foundation that Christ died, even though we are sinners. Christ died for us. It's a firm foundation. So often, I even find myself saying, can I possibly be? I'm not right with it. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have looked at that. Can I?" Yes, we are saved by grace. We're saved by grace. Unconditional love. Knowing that projects us into the sanctification of growing in Him, getting better at this. We'll never be perfect, but we are required to grow in grace and serve Him in the world. Strong foundations. I am saved. Thank God for that. Thank God that I'm saved. In Ephesians chapter 2, let's try this one, 8 and 9. It is by grace that you have been saved through Him. And this is not from yourselves, but it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Thank you, Lord, for dying to save me. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit of my own I claim, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save yourself and your hearers. Life turns everyone upside down from time to time. Make sure that you're standing on solid ground. Believe. Believe in Him. Watch your doctrine. Persevere. If you do, you'll save both yourself and others. Oh, and watch out for that seagull. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your blessed assurance. Help us to grow, Lord, in grace, to become the Christians you call us to become. Help us, Lord, to watch our own lives, watch ourselves, and watch our doctrines closely. Help us to persevere when times get bad. And help us to know, Lord, that we are saved by grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.